Hello, everybody. Welcome to the BA Show, the Blue Abroad Show. It is the 6th of March, 2023, 10 days away from round one, and two more Blue Abroad Shows before we take on the Tigers. I've got a special guest tonight. You may recognize him from a few spots, the Pressure Point podcast. He's also the founder of the Old Dark Blues YouTube channel. I've got Marcus with me. Did I get that right?
Yeah, he did, mate. No, well done. I like the slow build up to it. Very suspenseful.
Yeah, I probably should have written it down just in case. But, mate, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you on the show. And mate, we got plenty to talk about tonight.
Absolutely, mate. No, really appreciate you letting me come on. I think it's been, we'll say before, it's been a while. I think it was nearly 2 years ago since I was on properly. Anyway, so it's good to be back.
Were you not on last season?
Oh, potentially. I mean, maybe I was on last season. But I remember we did like a player preview thing in 2021. It's probably true. The last time. But yeah, so it's good. I'm keen, mate, and keen to get stuck into it.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. We'll talk about the game over the weekend. We're going to talk a bit about the preseason just as a whole, as a wrap-up. We'll dive into, I guess, a few of our season predictions and look ahead, as we love to do as Carlton fans, and crystal ball what's going to happen. But firstly, mate, maybe for those who haven't met you, give us a bit of an introduction into where you are and what you do and where they can find you.
Yeah, for sure. So myself and Quinn, we started the Pressure Point podcast halfway through 2020. And yeah, it sort of evolved since then, we just talk about all kinds of AFL stuff. There's been times throughout those years where we've been very heavily Carlton or Richmond focused, or Quinn goes for Richmond, and very focused on them. So we also decided to create our own channels as well. So I've got the Old Dark Blues now, and Quinn's got Tiger Den, and we just love talking about the game, and we're obviously very passionate about it as well. So, Pressure Point's turned into Pressure Point Media. So it's more than just a podcast now. We're going to focus a lot more on YouTube, and then the Old Dark Blues is purely YouTube. And the aim is to do some match day vlogs. I know that's it could be a bit of a challenge, but I'll give it a go, and then just do some videos. And at the moment, got some reels happening on Instagram with a bit of a countdown to the season. So that's been a bit of fun. And there's been heaps of support come through. So I really appreciate everyone reaching out and all the messages. It's been great. We're a great bunch, the Carlton fans, and we always get around each other, which is good. So, that's a bit of my story, and that's pretty much, sort of how we know each other as well.
Absolutely. I'm just going to get the link to your YouTube channel and chuck it in the comments. So for those who are not subscribed, now is the time. Hit the link. This is the Old Dark Blues YouTube channel. And mate, it's good to have another addition to the YouTube family. There's a lot of podcasts, but there's not a lot of YouTube channels. So I like it. There's a bit of a network building here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm keen to focus more on that video space, and hopefully do some vlogs, because I know the Carlton games can get very entertaining. If they're half as what they were last year, we're in for a good ride.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, let's talk about Sydney. I don't know. It's an interesting one. We'll talk about Sydney. We played our final practice match over the weekend on the Friday night. Those of you playing along at home, we'll get this going again. Three words for those of you playing at home in the comments. Three words to describe Friday night. And Marcus, what did you make of the final tune-up before round one?
It's a really tough one, isn't it? I think your automatic reaction to it is, oh shit, like we probably got taught a bit of a lesson, especially around the contest where we're really strong. So if you look at it from there, it's like, yeah, shit, maybe we aren't as far ahead as what we probably thought. But I mean, when you really strip it back, we were missing a lot of key players in comparison to Sydney, who I think they were pretty much full strength. I think, to be honest, in my opinion, that was the perfect tune-up for us. It probably really taught us a lesson and showed us what the best what the best do. And, you know, Sydney obviously made the grand final, and to play Collingwood and Sydney consecutively, two pretty strong teams from last year, I think it was the perfect way. Even if we got smashed in certain areas, I think it's going to hold us in good stead and hopefully hungrier than we were previous to that.
Yeah. I think it's unique for us because if we go back to the start of the rebuild, I often refer to it, right? And I remember preseason games, we would be going as hard as we possibly could and probably still losing practice matches or preseason games. And we were obviously, you know, trying to stay positive. Last year, I remember we came out pretty hard. We had a bit of a point to prove, you know, Vossi's the new coach and everyone's on notice, so to speak. I think this year was the first time in a very long time that I can remember watching preseason games and like clearly knowing we didn't even get out of first or second gear and like knowing maybe not that we were withholding. Well, yeah, we were withholding our best. But that theory won't be true unless we actually go and do the thing during the season. But I found the experience interesting where I'm like, man, these guys aren't even giving it their all. They're just, you know, getting through, which I mean, at the end of the day, like, what do you want? You want to get through unscathed, you know, above all else, right?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, you'd rather that than them going full tilt and then we get a few injuries and then it's even worse. So, good point. As I said, in the past, we would have gone flat out. And I mean, you saw last year where we pretty much touched up Melbourne in that preseason game and the hype was, you know, off the charts. So we've done it very differently this year. And I think it was perfect. To be honest, as bad as we did look in certain patches of the Sydney game, I think the club's approach to it has been really good and different, and I think managing the players as well has been really important, especially the injury prone players. So I think fingers crossed it's gonna serve us well.
Yeah, I mean, having said that, I thought there were some players that you could clearly see trying their hardest, because like, you know, that there's probably, I don't know, like, I know you've done your 22. I haven't done mine yet, but my sense is that there's like probably 17 to 18 spots that I could probably reel off the top of my head, and the rest you can make the case for someone over the other one or the other one over the other one. And I think when you talk about, you know, Lachie Cowan, Ollie Hollins, Alex Chincotta, these types, you could tell that they had a little bit more to prove. And so from that point of view, it was exciting. What did you make of, let's say, those three? What did you make of those three, and which, if any or all of them, do you think will play in round one?
Yeah, well, I mean, the obvious one is Lachie Cowan. I mean, what he did against Sydney was super. He was playing like he'd played for, you know, 3 or 4 years already. His body's mature. I think everyone knows that big bump. They got laid on him, and then he got himself straight back up and laid a tackle. So I'll be very surprised if he doesn't play round one and doesn't play a lot of footy this season. I think the club obviously really like him, and he looks like he's pretty settled already and really confident at the level. I mean, it is going to be different when, you know, we're under the bright lights of the MCG in front of 90,000 people, probably the first two rounds. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in that. But I mean, from what we saw early, and over the preseason as well, I think he's definitely ready. And I think the same with Ollie Hollins too. You know, his work rate, his ability to get the ball is first class. He's probably a little bit light and probably get thrown around a fair bit, but that's not what we've got him there for. So I think he'll probably play a fair few games this year. Whether he debuts in round one is another question, but I mean, I think those two in particular are going to probably feature a lot more than we thought. And I think Alex Nkotta as well, I think, could be that, you know, small, strong defender that we've been crying out for, to be honest. So he could definitely feature. I think, you know, getting him as I think he's 26 and a mature head, mature body, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't play much footy as well. So I think we've uncovered three players that we probably all didn't have in our best 22 a few weeks ago. And I think, yeah, they're definitely going to surprise a few this year.
Yeah, so I thought the same about Cowan. I think after Friday, I was like, yep, lock him in for round one. And then we got the news during the week, and I don't know how true this is, but John Ralph went pretty strong with it, where he said that McGovern and Marchbank are going to be named in round one. Now, who can really predict that, even if you're a, you know, a journalist? But if that's the case, it creates a really interesting discussion, because if McGovern and Marchbank are fit and healthy and they're going to be named, there's two of, let's say you pick seven, right? So in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, so McGovern, Marchbank, Wiedering, Young, Saad, Newman, and if they name Doc in the back line, which I think they will, given who's still available in the midfield. So if you subscribe to that theory, how does Cowan play for you?
Yeah, it's a good point, isn't it? You'd say McGovern certainly comes straight in if he's fit and ready to go. And to be honest, would you play Cowan ahead of Marchbank at the moment, just given Marchbank's history? You might roll with him to start, given the preseason form, it'd be hard not to pick him. So it's a good problem to have. I mean, that's the depth that we've been after, and who knows what they're going to do. But yeah, I'll be surprised after what he put in the other night if he doesn't play round one in some way and they somehow get him into the team.
Same. There is the sub now, right? So there is the 4+1, which it's going to be a really interesting tactic now for clubs, because that player, you know, is probably coming on for that last quarter, no matter what happens, as a sub. And we've got a few players on the list now who maybe aren't ready to be consistent, but they're certainly ready to put a bit of an impact in for a quarter. We've got a lot of burst players. Burst type player is, we seem to have the majority of them in the league. So I guess we'll see where that comes out. And then there's Ollie. So I thought Lachie O'Brien was probably didn't show his best on Friday night. Again, not wanting to read too far into it. I thought he was pretty good against the Pies, but I just get this feeling like there's a wave of Ollie Hollands. It's coming. And the way I think that first few minutes on Friday night, the commentary was talking about Ollie Hollands. He ran like all the way to the goal square. He covered the ground ridiculously. So I'm torn between, like, do you reward the kids early or do you show them a little bit of a difficult time and just get them to play one or two games in the VFL and then unleash them? So I don't know. I'm not sure about debuting two kids in one game, but also I've got no idea. So there's that.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, not just in one game, it's a game in front of a sellout crowd at the G against the Tigers. So it's a massive occasion. So whether they take the punt with that is another question. But we've seen over last year, you know, I think O'Brien is one of Vossi's favourites and he loves him on that wing. So you'd probably think O'Brien will get the nod over Hollands at this stage, but yeah, you never know with the form that he's put in as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this time. Yeah. Well, yeah. Midway through next week when the selection comes out. So it's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Did you take away anything else from the game? Maybe something else that hasn't been spoken about enough or at all? Like, were there any other bits that spruked your interest?
I think it confirmed the fact of how important George Hewitt is to the team. Yeah. We just showed how much we missed him last year when he went out. You know, I don't think we won a game or anyone won a game after he missed. So, and then, I mean, he showed that he was enormous against the Pies and then backed it up against Sydney as well. He's just so consistent, so clean, hard at it. It's exactly what we need. And I think he's going to be crucial to, you know, whatever we achieve this year. I think he's going to be, a real focal point in that and a core reason as to how far we go this year.
Yeah, he's severely underrated by the rest of the league. Yep. Although, I think he cracked the 50th spot in somebody's top 50 today. I saw it very briefly. Who was that?
Yeah, I think it was ESPN. I think they did that. Yeah, so he was in. So it was good that they rated him at least.
Yeah. I think he's one of our most important players. I really do. Yep. I think Pitto's a really important player because of what he's able to do that Tom can't just yet. And I think Hewitt is the real key to the engine room. He allows Cripps to be a better version of Cripps. He covers for people's deficiencies. And we rarely have had players that just do the basics right most of the time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, It's yeah, it's I think he needs, if he, if we, as I said before, if we're gonna have these, you know, flag aspirations or, you know, top four aspirations, we need George Hewitt to be fit for 95% of the year, because yeah, he's critical to what, and not even what Cripps does, it's critical to what Walsh does, is, you know, frees up Chera as well and Matt Kennedy as well. So it's a flow-on effect, and I think he's the starter of it all. So yeah, can't wait for, hopefully he has a full season this year.
Yeah. What's your take on the ruck situation?
I prefer Pitto as our number one. Purely from what you said before, I think he really, you know, he really supports, especially Cripps. And he even said it on the Summer Sessions podcast that the club does, where, you know, that's his game. He's there to, you know, look after his teammates, you know, put on blocks. He's that aggressor type. And I think that's exactly what we need for our midfield, especially because we're so reliant on our clearance work and our contested footy. And Pitnett is the perfect ruckman for that. As good as Tom can be, I love Tommy. He's got so much potential, and his highlights reel is one of the best at the club. But he's probably, his consistency isn't there. And I think, you know, Pitto sort of takes away from the inconsistency that Tommy shows by, you know, throwing his body around and really protecting the midfielder. So I think Pitto gets it for me. I can see why a lot of people do have Tom as their number one, but I think going forward, I think, yeah, Pitto is going to be our number one, and I would, yeah, prefer him there, because we saw when he was injured last year that we did struggle as well. So, yeah, but it's going to be another interesting battle, and again, and that's another good problem to have.
Yeah, Pitto just, he makes himself really wide, and he's very strong. He's obviously a little older than Tom. He's a bit more seasoned in the body. But his ability to just create width with his body, which creates space at his feet, doesn't get spoken about enough. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, Tommy, I love Tommy. Love Tom De Koning. But Tom, for me, is a bit of a microcosm of us as a club, in that he is, at times you look at him and you think, oh my God, he's going to be the best player or the best ruckman in the comp, or he's going to be incredible. But much like the club, just hasn't been able to put it together for four quarters. Now, he's got a long way to go in his career. I'm sure it's going to come. He works too hard for it not to come. But in this moment right now, I think it's a blessing to have Pitto, so we don't have too much of a burden on Tom. We don't have to rely on him too much. We can let him just naturally progress to the point where hopefully one day he becomes so good and so consistent that the conversation turns on its head and it's like, all right, well, I think Tommy needs to play more ruck, or I don't know, forward, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, 100%. No, you've nailed that one. I think we love what Tommy, like when Tommy has a good game, it's like, wow, like he's almost going to be, you know, the best player, highest paid player in the game, is what some people were saying last year. So, but I think it's just a consistency issue with him. Like, he's fantastic, but can go missing in games when we really need him. But as you said, he's still young. So lots of footy ahead of him. And yeah, I look forward to the time where he is, yeah, at that level, at that position to really, yeah, be like, this is my number one spot.
Yeah. All right. Wait, do I have any more other questions? Yeah, I do. I want to just hear your take on, so I've been thinking about the third, not necessarily the third tall, because I don't know if we're going to be a team that has a third tall, and that's a bit more of a traditional thing to say, but who do you see as being like our third consistent goal kicker? Harry and Charlie, between the two of them, it's not really a worry in the sense of they're going to put enough on the scoreboard for the year. I'm pretty confident in saying that. They've proven themselves as Coleman medalists. But I still think we lack that third consistent guy, and no one has really emerged just yet. I know Cripps kicked 20 last year. I don't know if I'm going to rely on Cripps to kick 20 this year, but for you, do you look at that as that third forward for us, and who that's going to be?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's two players I've got in mind. I think one that, yeah, the obvious one could be Jack Silvani. I think if we stay injury free, especially through that midfield area, because we obviously have to go through there a lot and then play ruck, But I feel like if we can stay quite injury free in, you know, the other areas of the ground, that allows Jack to, you know, play as that third forward, which I think is his strongest area. So he has the potential to kick, you know, 20 plus 30 goals for a season, and that would be huge. We all love Jack, and I feel like he's gotten better, you know, over the last few years. He's consistently improved, and I think, yeah, if we can stay healthy, he can really nail down that, you know, half forward, third tall spot down there. And then you've got the other Jack Martin, who, I mean, if someone can stay injury free, we need Jack Martin too, because we know how good he can be. We got him on a big contract, and you know, he's one of the most talented players as a junior as well. And yeah, I feel like he is really dangerous down forward. We saw what he did in his first year with us in 2020. He was sensational. I know I was halfway through that year, he was one of my favorite players, if not my favorite player at the time. I just love what he was doing. So if he can, yeah, stay on the park and play as a real, yeah, weapon up forward, and potentially as that third tall, because he can play tall as well, then yeah, who knows? So I think it's out of those two Jacks. But if I had to pick, I'd say, yeah, I'd probably be more reliant on Silvani being that player.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I think a bit of commentary was coming through last week. Even I can see it tonight in the comments, just around, you know, Jack Silvani doesn't kick enough goals. I thought he started the season pretty well last year in those first five rounds, hitting the scoreboard. I remember him kicking two or three against Hawthorn, and he was hitting the scoreboard. And then once that focus shifted, where he had to play more ruck minutes, that really threw out his momentum as a forward. But one thing I saw with Jack on Friday night was he was consistent across the four quarters. He may not have had amazing impact, but he was just there, kept leading up. He was playing as that, you know, second tall, if you will, with Harry being out. And yeah, you know, round one's his 100th game. He becomes the first, I think the Silvani's become the first, I think it's the first combination of three family members to play 100 games. So that's big. But yeah, I had Jack Silvani as my breakout player last year. I don't know if I'm going to do that this year, but I it's close. Like it's coming all together. He's a bit more consistent now. He's not a game-breaking superstar type player. He's more of a consistent role player, job doer. And, you know, I don't think 25 goals is a stretch. I think it's really doable for him.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And I think Carlton fans are the only ones that really truly appreciate what Jack Silvani does on the footy field. I mean, you try to talk up Jack Silvani to other supporters or neutral supporters, and I think they just don't get it. They probably just don't watch it close enough like we do, and we really appreciate what, you know, the work he does, and he's, you know, one of the hardest workers at the club. And and yeah, I mean, if you can get, I think 25 goals is definitely achievable. And I said in one of my videos the other week, I'm like, he should be pushing for, you know, a potential, you know, this could be a stretch, but like a potential All-Australian squad member, not making the team, but just for that squad of 44 up forward, or, you know, on the half forward flank. So he's capable of it. I think he's just been thrown around a lot over the last couple of years, and he hasn't, as good as he has played, but I don't think he's been able to, yeah, truly nail a position.
Yeah. There was a time there where I hadn't heard the, oh, he only plays because of his dad comment for a while. Yeah. Pretty much all of last year, I didn't really hear it much. And then I was at the wedding a few weeks ago on the Friday, and I was talking about the footy with a mate of mine, and he's like, be honest, do you really think he would play if it wasn't for his surname? And it was the first time it had come up in a while. And I was like, do people really think that? Is it like people actually still think that? So whatever.
Yeah, no, it couldn't be further from the truth, to be honest. I think it's a bit of an insult to Jack. I think he's definitely made his own name now for sure. I mean, yeah, there could have been talk about that at the start, but no, he's definitely made a name for it now. And to be playing, I think he's in his seventh or eighth season now. So it's a fair career for someone that's just playing with because of the name.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy when you think about it. Him and the rest of that draft class, you know, Weeders, Harry, Charlie, Cunners, they are moving into year number eight now. We are probably at the halfway point of their careers. We're now in the second half of their careers. We've started to experience that. So
yeah,
got so many theories about, you know, they're in their second half of their career, so the rest of the competition or half the competition will be younger than them now, so maybe they can start bullying guys. I've got theories coming out of everywhere, mate.
Yeah, and it's crazy just even to utter those words to say that they're, you know, past the halfway point of their career. They still feel so young to us, and doesn't even feel like that young that long ago when we drafted them. So, but again, it just shows where we're at too. It's time. It's absolutely time.
Yeah. I've got a $50 donation here from our very generous friend, Ugur, and he's asking for a prediction against Richmond, an early one. So I'll let you kick things off.
Jeez. I think we'll win. I think we'll win. I'm going to go 10 points. I think it's going to be tight. Obviously Richmond are a good side. I don't think it's going to be like last year and that real ebb and flow and us coming back and going crazy like that. But I think it'll be a consistent effort and consistent. I think we'll lead most of the game and get home by 10 points, I think. Feel sick just thinking about the possible outcome of that match, but I think we'll get the job done. I think we're at our best. I think we can certainly roll the Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I remember last year we were on the back foot a little bit and there were still some, I don't know, nerves. We also had the injection of our two new midfielders. You know, we had Chera and Hewitt, who were big parts of the midfield group. And it took a few quarters. It took some time to gel. And so my hope is that Hopper, Taranto in there, they take a few quarters to gel and we just, you know, I'm hoping we've got the confidence from last year to know that we can do it. And once we know that we can do it, we start doing it. And it's pretty straightforward with us now. Win the clearance battle, win the stoppage battle, pretty much have more inside 50s, give your forwards as many more opportunities than theirs. And as a very basic formula, which is easier said than done, I think we'll win. I think we'll win by 12 points, 2 to 3 goals. I think.
Yeah. I think it's going to be tight for sure. And round one last year, Charlie and Harry only kicked one goal between them. So
yeah,
there's plenty of improvement there for sure. And I mean, yeah, if they have a big night, then yeah, I think we're definitely winning that game.
Love it. All right. Thanks, Ugur. Now we're going to go back to preseason. Just a recap. So everything's happened. Injuries, non-injuries, news, practice matches. What's your overall feeling? So, Marcus, this is to you in the meantime. Those of you in the comments, give us a rating out of 10 for our preseason. But yeah, Marcus, what do you make of the whole picture?
It's a good question. To be honest, as a whole, I like the approach that the club went with the preseason, of being overly cautious and, you know, not, you know, going full tilt with the preseason games. But overall, I'm going to give it a 7.5, I reckon. I'm going to look at it as a bit more of a positive outlook. And saying that, there wasn't a lot of negatives. I mean, yeah, the game against Sydney, maybe a little bit, and a few injuries like the Walsh injury and the Zach Williams injury that can, definitely puts a damper on things. But I think overall, the bigger picture of it, we've got most of our list pretty healthy, and I feel like a lot of those, as I said earlier, those injury prone players have been managed quite well so far anyway. And I think we're in a pretty strong position heading into round one. So 7.5 is my rating out of 10.
It's a good point you make. I had written down 7 out of 10, or a B, and the reason I did that is the things that I liked were the injection of the new kids. I liked the way that we trained when I was there for training. I liked what I saw. Some things probably I feel like we could have done a little bit better. Just around that communication piece. We don't need to know everything. I think we could have done a little better with the management of the news of Sam Walsh. because I remember Hansen, Mackay and Cripps came out and said he was going to be fine for January. And then, you know, days later, we were told that he had gone in for the surgery and he'd miss a little bit more time than what we had hoped for. Little things like that. I mean, they're not big things, but also at the same time, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I just don't want us to get back into that bad habit of the way we used to communicate and leave fans in the dark. Having said that, I understand that there are some things that we can't know the full details of. I also like what we've done with this modified program for these certain players. I was curious when they said that they were going to do it. I was curious about, all right, what does that look like? What does it mean that McGovern, Marchbank and Martin, for example, are on modified programs? What does that actually look like? And now I guess I can kind of see it. They haven't played in practice matches. Granted, I think Marchie had a little bit of a calf niggle. That's why he didn't play on Friday, based on what the club had put out. Right now, it makes sense. Get him into shape so they can be ready for round one. Don't risk them in a practice match. I guess the proof will be in the pudding. But I guess now that we've finished the preseason, I can see something is different with the way that they've managed certain guys. Like, it's clearly different. There's clearly a different mentality. They want to get match fitness by playing during the season. We're going to see if it works or not. But if it means, you know, you and I are chatting here in round 21 and all three of them have played, you know, 18 of the 21, for example, then the Kool-Aid starts to come out, you know. Yeah. Like, it's just exciting to think about the opportunity to have all three of them, because I'm just tired of going into a season having to make concessions for three or four guys who you just kind of know are not going to be available. So yeah, I like what we've done from that point. So 7 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you made a good point. I mean, if it means that they miss a chunk of the preseason, but they get, you know, 18 to 20 games in, or, you know, 23 games in, then it really pays off, doesn't it? So I think it's just seeing those names on the injury sheet, or like on the, you know, players not pick sheet, that it brings back those that trauma with them, and all those injury headlines that we've seen over the last few years. So but yeah, yes, proof will be in the pudding, and we'll find out very soon.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do just a couple of season predictions. We're going to look ahead. I'm going to ask some questions of you. I'm going to ask some questions of the audience. I did do this on Instagram last night. So let me just grab this up. Let's start with the number of wins. So those of you playing along at home, type in the chat, how many wins are we going to have this year? Marcus, how many wins, mate?
I'm going with 15. We got 12 last year and we probably lost three or four that we should have won. So I'm going to go 15, and that should put us in a really, really good position.
Yeah. I've got 14, and the reason why I've got 14 is because I've got to give more respect to the rest of the competition.
Yep.
There's a few teams outside of the eight that I'm not nervous about, but I just respect what they can do. I think the Suns are there. I think Port Adelaide will be back. I don't think they'll be starting the season 0-5. There's a couple there that, you know, didn't make it that I would think that they'd bounce back. I think the Tigers will be. I mean, I'm going to start the season and go into the season giving some respect to the Tigers. So I don't want to just pretend like it's a Carlton world. And also with the extra game as well, I'm mindful of that we're playing. So 14 wins is what I think. Generally speaking, from what I can see here, we've got 14 to 16 wins. I'm also hoping we're not waiting until round 21 or 22 to get that final win to go into finals, because, it'd be cruel for us as fans, because it's so out of our control, right?
Yeah, no, I don't want to go through that again. And I think that would get into the heads of the players, I think, as well. I think they'd want to get it done early and chalk that off nice and early after what happened last year. So yeah, let's hopefully not go there.
Yeah, Claudio is excited. 18 wins. I love to see it.
Jeez, I love it.
To see it. Yeah, 14, 13. Yeah, it's
around it's that pretty, mark.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there, 14 to 16. So where does that leave us on the ladder? Those of you at home and Marcus, where are we finishing on the ladder?
Yeah, so in my prediction video that I've recorded, I put us in fifth. So it gives us a home final at the MCG. And yeah, I think that's our tempering the expectations. I'd love to put us as fourth or third, but I think fifth would be a great result from where we've come from. And yeah, it would set us up nicely. So I'm going to go fifth.
Yeah, I'm with David here. Fifth or sixth, I've summarized it as a home final, elimination final. I can see it. The way I see it, which I'm more wrong than right, but the way I see it, it's going to be us at the MCG round one of finals in an elimination final against the Pies, who will finish eighth and they'll limp in. And that's going to be something.
Oh, mate, just the thought of that just makes me sick. But yeah. I would love nothing more than to play them in a final and knock them off, that's for sure. But geez, can you imagine the build up to that? It'd be huge.
I can. I've actually been imagining it since round 23, if I'm honest. It's the only way to get them back and to really sting.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Yeah, I would love it, mate. But yeah, I think that's a good summation. I think fifth is I think we'd all be very, very happy with a fifth finish.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next one I've got is the most improved player for the year. Who will that be? Those of you at home and Marcus, who's going to be our most improved?
Yeah, I feel like this is a pretty popular choice, but I've gone with Jesse Motlop. I think what he's done over the preseason has been really good. He's looked really strong. The game against Collingwood, he was fantastic. And I think we saw the back half of last year that he was, you know, really threatening to properly break out already in his first season. You said the game against St Kilda, he was huge. And then that third quarter against Collingwood where he really lit up the MCG. And if we won that game, then we would have probably been talking about Jesse Motlop is the next big thing. So I can see that happening. And I think he'll definitely be a big breakout and most improved player.
Yeah. I think I was saying Jesse Motlop at the start of the preseason. I think now that I've got the data in front of me, seeing how people are moving and their fitness levels, I'm more inclined towards Chera just because of the way he's covering the ground. I wanted to say Matt Kennedy. I really did. I do like this, but I think he took a big leap last year.
Yeah.
Just on Kennedy, if you think about it, he played the practice match against the Pies, and then he played a quarter against the VFL, which if you had said that to me 2-3 seasons ago, I would have said you're crazy. Now that is something that he's doing, his fitness levels and the way he's covering the ground and the way he's running out games in that fourth quarter. Don't want to get too excited, but there's a potential All-Australian type squad situation maybe waiting there for him, but I'm going to go with Chez. I think we thought he would be an A grader straight away. And I think he had a really good season, but maybe not to the level that we thought he was going to have. But I think this is the year where it all comes together. He's a lot more settled at the club. He's comfortable at the club. I'm going to go with Chez.
Yeah. And where, so in terms of, so if you reckon he's going to be most improved, then where does that leave him at the end of the year? Is he an All-Australian? Is he a best and fairest winner? What is he?
Yeah. I think he's going to have one of those like top five, top three in the BNF type years. And I'm going to have him as our most improved. Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty hot on Zach Williams until obviously what happened as he, but him being like the real breakout guy, but Chez, I'm a fan. I just love the way he carries himself as well, like the whole package.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we saw him at his best last year, and I think there was those two games against Collingwood. He was fantastic. Yeah. So, if we can get that consistently, I think we're in for a big year.
Yeah. And then what have I seen here? I did put a few up. A lot of people said Motlop, Got a bit of doc. I don't mind this. I don't mind this from Shane. Uger loves him some Bam Bam. What else have we got? Any new ones? Nah. All right. The BNF is the next one. So those of you playing along at home, who's going to win the best and fairest? Marcus, who have you got?
This year I've got Jacob Wiedering. I think he's going to be back to his best. And not just his best. I think he's going to go to another level. We've seen it in the preseason as well. He's looked really sharp. Looks like he's really, you know, reading the play well again, really confident in his body. And he's got that look in his eyes as well, where he's just really, he's fired up for this season. So, and I think he was really annoyed with the injury and the way that things happened last year. So I think he's going to be huge, finally get that All-Australian spot as well and then win another best and fairest. So I've got Weeders for me.
Mate, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, I still think Cripps will have a really strong year. I'm not doubting him, but I feel like Weeders he's been a little stiff in that he's had a few things happen to him that have been out of his control with injury. I think last year was stiff. I thought he was clearly the All-Australian either fullback or center half back up until, you know, the bye. And then obviously gets injured and, you know, it happens. You miss half a season, you're going to struggle to win an All-Australian jacket if you miss half of the season. So, yeah, I think from what I can see, he's done all of the preseason. And I think he's got a bit of a point to prove. And just to put him, I think in our eyes, we've already got him amongst the best defenders in the league. But I think for him and I think for the league, I don't think many people had him in their top 50s, which for me is crazy. But yeah, I think this is the year where he gets the nod, gets the jacket, and then he sets himself on the stage with the rest of those, you know, high-profile defenders, you know, the Darcy Moores, the Stephen Mays, you know, the Tom Stewarts, these types. And I think he sits there comfortably with all of them.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I think this is the year for him. And we've seen how important he is to our team. When he went down last year, it was the first time we'd really seen our team without Wiedering. So I think, yeah, this is the year for him. And if he doesn't get All-Australian this year, there'll be absolute riots outside AFL house, that's for sure.
Yeah. Last question for the predictions. Give us a storyline of the year. Just something that pops up. So again, those of you at home, and Marcus, I'm going to turn my light on because this shadow is pissing me off.
Yeah, no worries.
Go for it, mate.
I've got a few in mind, but I think the first one that comes to mind is Mitch McGovern, and I think he's going to prove his doubters wrong and become an All-Australian squad member over that half-back line and push for a top five best and fairest place. I think he's capable of it. And I think with his managed program this year and he's looked fantastic over the preseason, I think that's going to be the story of our year is, you know, we've finally seen the best of Mitch gets rewarded as in the 44-man squad potentially, in our top five best and fairest. So it would be fantastic. It would be amazing if that did happen. It's probably a bit of a long shot, but I think that's going to be my story. We've all been very excited with what Mitch produced last year in those glimpses. But if you can put it all together and stay fit, I think sky's the limit for him.
Love that. Love that. There's a couple here. Ugu has given us another 50 and he said that we're winning the flag. So that's a great omen right there. Jimmy also thinks we're winning the flag. I like this. I'm a fan of this. Lockie Cowan, the shock rising star. Big fan of that.
Yep.
The Blues break the 10-year finals drought. That's a given. In by round 15. That's a nice one. This is a nice one, a nice ambitious one. Kennedy Brownlow.
Imagine that. Oh.
McGovern. Lose with you on McGovern.
Yep.
I like this. Kerner, the first player to kick 100 goals. Big fan of that. Ricky's all aboard the sauce train. I like it. I like it. Josh Lofts, the Blues struggled mid-season. Questions raised if the Blues are legit. We bounce back and break the finals drought with a home final. Yeah.
Mm.
Steven's got some thoughts on Weeders, on what he needs to do to add to his game. This one's interesting. TDK wins Carlton's third Coleman medal in 3 years. Stranger things have happened. Oh, don't know about that. Cripps to Coleman. This would be interesting.
Jeez, yeah.
Charlie and Harry, 150 between them. Now that, if that happens, which that's possible, that's not totally crazy.
I don't think that's not as outrageous as some, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would we need a third consistent goal kicker if we're getting 150 from two guys?
It would be a heavy reliance, I think. But
yeah.
What's that? That's a lot of goals between them too. And they're both capable of it. It's just whether we go to them that often.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I love Harry. And I think Harry's got an underrated... Well, my storyline, first of all, is around Caleb Marchbank and just reminding everyone who he is and what he can do. And I think what Charlie did last year, Caleb will do this year. A lot of people have forgotten about what he's capable of. But the fact that we got some games into him at the back end of last year, similar to Charlie the year before, gives me hope that he's capable of doing it this year. So Marchbank's the one for me. He plays every game and reminds everyone exactly why we had him as our number two to Wiedering's number one. But there's another one for me around Harry. There's a piece around Harry. I think Harry's like an underrated leader at the club. It's starting to emerge. I'm starting to notice the way he speaks. It's different. I'm starting to notice some maturity from him. Charlie's really jovial. Charlie's our energy. You know, he's got that young soul, that kindred spirit. Whereas Harry, I feel, is really taking steps to becoming a leader. And when I look at the makeup of our leadership group, Cripps, with Walsh and Wiedering, we don't have a representative in the forward line. Now, does that matter? I don't know, but I think it says a little something. I think it says a little something that we don't have a leader, a recognized leader in our forward line yet. So I think this is the year Harry takes that next step in his development and becomes a real leader of the club. And, you know, by next year, I think he'll be in our leadership group. So yeah, that's what I think.
Love it. I think that's a great show. I haven't really thought about that with Harry. And yeah, he's such a mature head as well, especially when he talks in front of the media. So I love that and love to see it next year. I think he'd be well deserved. So
yeah, absolutely. Now, what else have we got? Let's just see. Martin plays every game. Love that. Harry for the Coleman. Yep. Very doable. Rob, here's one. Terry, we have been hoodwinked again.
Please not.
You know what? If we talk about one side, let's talk about the other. I've thought about this. My biggest fear, and I think it's everyone's fear, my biggest fear this year is that we don't do it for whatever reason. I had a read of the great article that Riley Beveridge did on the club with Vossi. It was an interview. It was a written piece. There was a really interesting quote there from Vossi around, we don't just want to be a team that aims for finals. Finals should be a minimum standard. So we don't want to be a team that's defined by, you know, that, just, you know, the aim to finals every year, which I understand and I totally agree with. And it's really refreshing to hear that. You know, but naturally, the life that, mate, you and I have both lived, we're the same age, more or less, very similar in experiences. All we know is how are they going to muff it this year? That's kind of all we've really ever known. And I'm not going into that this season with that mentality, but of course, I think about it just a little bit like, do I really have another year in me with like waiting again? I don't know.
Yeah, mate, I know. Like those thoughts do creep in for sure. But I think this has been the most exciting preseason and most excited I've been, I think, heading into a season, and probably the most confident I think I've been as well. I think last year was probably more of a wait and see. All right, yeah, we'll see what they do on the field. It's all talk. We didn't really buy into it too much, but I think this year it's like, no, like this, and like enough's enough. Like this is it. Like this is the best Carlton list I think I've seen in probably ever, to be honest, or since we were very, very young. So yeah, I think I'm more confident in the list, more so than, you know, rehashing, you know, old wounds or old memories and the old, you know, playbook that seems to happen year on year. But I think we can look past that this year, and yeah, I say that with a bit of that thought in my head. But no, I think the list is too good for it to really, you know, fall over and wait another year. So yeah, fingers crossed, mate.
And logically, maybe this isn't logical, but I think it is logically, to have stability in an off season, which is something we also haven't had for a while, in that it's the same group of players, it's the same coaches. There wasn't as much turnover. So to dial in another layer of understanding of the game plan and who we want to be and what we want to be and how we want to play and how we want to conduct ourselves and what our non-negotiables are, to have all of these things that we've just said with the great list, plus the element of stability, in my mind, logically, that means it's going to be a positive from the year before. So all those things coming together, and I'm convincing myself again that we're doing it. So
absolutely, mate. All the pieces are there. Like everything is there. We've literally got everything in front of us, all the tools to go at it. Whether we win the flag or not, I think we put ourselves in a position to do it. I think that's all we can really ask. That's what we expect. I think that is the minimum standard as supporters, is to is to deliver on what the list is capable of. So let's see what we do. And I think, yes, it's very important to get off to a great start like we did last year. But I mean, I think we'd take it if we reversed our form from last year and finished off as good as we started. So not the end of the world if we do lose to the Tigers, but as long as if that means that we, you know, finish top four or have a solid season, then yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. All right. Got a few things that I just want to touch on. So firstly, I want to give you all an update on the season launch, that it's come around really quickly. I've got the link in the chat right now. If you're on YouTube, it's pinned to the top of the live chat. There are 4 tickets left. There will be over 100 people there at North Seafood and Grill. Ange Christou is hosting us. It's going to be crazy. Saturday, the 11th of March. It's a long weekend as well. So talk about Kool-Aid flowing. For those of you watching right now, there are literally 4 tickets left. So between tonight, the Jumper Punch tomorrow, Blues Brothers tonight as well, I think we'll certainly sell out. So tonight, this week is your last chance to get a ticket, and we look forward to seeing you there. Secondly, as I mentioned, we'll have some fun tonight. The Blues Brothers are on. The Almost Blues Brothers are on. They're live tonight. Marcus, you've been on the Almost Blues Brothers before.
I've had Joe on.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So yeah. So no, he's there. I love what they're doing. They've come on. They've come a long way and really taking up a level. So I'll definitely be tuning in.
Yeah, it's tonight is their 80th episode. So definitely want to take a moment to acknowledge them. I remember Joe reached out years ago and started writing articles for the site, and just naturally progressed and really just bought into a process. And I think it's important that sort of effort is acknowledged, and like to put 80 episodes together. Marcus, I'm sure you know what it's like, you know, to have that many episodes of anything really. It you know, it's a commitment. It's a time commitment, whether you love it or not. It is a commitment. So kudos to the boys on 80 episodes, and we'll be looking forward to episode 100 this year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, to do those, and well, do those 80 episodes throughout some, you know, some tough times, especially, you know, through 2021 there, and to get through that and hopefully, yeah, have some more positive ones than negative episodes this year. It's very exciting. So love what the boys are doing.
Yep. Also, they've got brand new mics. So Joe's had enough. He's done with the comments around the sound. So he went and got all three of them, got them all set up, brand new mics. So they're excited. I know he's excited. He messaged me last week right after the show, or the day after, I think it was. He's like, yeah, nah, enough's enough. Here they are. Sent me a photo. So he's up and about for that. Yeah. Now, we've got a little bit of time. So by the way, Blues Brothers are on at 8 p.m. So Marcus, we've got a bit of time. So I want to throw you into the ring of fire and we're going to play the game. Have you seen this game?
I have seen it. I've seen, I think it was the one you did with Pommy a few weeks ago. It was good. Makes you think, that's for sure. It surprises people. Some of the answers. Yeah.
There's only one rule and I'm going to stick to the rule tonight. It's only one turn. There's only one go. So if we get it wrong in the first, with the first go, then it is what it is.
All right. Let's do it.
So those of you playing along at home, help us out. All right. This one should be pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah. I think so. Fifth.
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Jeez, that is... Because I know Lynch kicked a lot of...
Lynch, he was obviously a good, great forward, but I don't know...
Did he start as a batsman? I think he did.
He did too. All right. Are we going with Norm?
I think we're going to have to go with Norm, yeah. Oh, no. Oh.
I'm sick of this game, I'm telling you, mate. Oh, jeez. I'm sick of this game. Oh, well. That was fun while it lasted.
What do I finish? Yeah. Stupid game. Whose idea was that?
I think we're getting some feedback on the mic. Is that fixed? Yeah, David, I think that's done. I think we won't be playing that game anymore. I think I'm done with that. Thank you. Thank you to Gareth for sending that through, but I think that'll do us. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Marcus, mate, thank you so much for joining. Appreciate it. We definitely will get you on again throughout the season. Would love to see more of you here, and good luck with the journey, mate. YouTube's a fun game, and we look forward to seeing the progression, seeing the development, and go Blues, eh?
Thanks a lot, Terry, mate. Yeah, appreciate you on. Let me come on and you've been great. Appreciate it, mate. And absolutely. Blues.
Awesome. All right, guys. Stay tuned. Stand by for the Almost Blues Brothers. Good night, everyone.